One of the more fascinating books that I have read in the last month or so is a book called Rodham by American author Curtis Sittenfeld. It tells reasonably faithfully, as far as I know, recreates fictionally the historical record of Hillary Rodham, going to Yale, student activist, women's right movement activist, meets Bill Clinton. The two find each other intellectually, emotionally, physically. But in the real world, Hillary goes back to Arkansas with Bill, and he proposes, she says no, he proposes, she says no, he proposes, she says yes. And we kind of know what happened after that. But in this book, what happens is that she says no and embarks on a political career, which is very different from the political career she followed mostly in Bill's shadow for a while, and then the failed run for the American presidency 4 years ago. And what a mistake that was by the American voters. The author, Curtis Sittenfeld, is on the line to us now. Curtis, a good American morning to you.
Thank you so much.
It's not the first time that you've done something like this. The first book of yours that I read was American Wife, which is a fictionalized retelling of the life of Laura Bush. But that largely, in a fictional sense, followed the life of Laura Bush. This one, you deviate, not midpoint, but at, I suppose, one-third of the point in the real Hillary Rodham's life. Why? Why did you do this? I'm glad you did. But
well, I think there are a few reasons. I mean, one, I'm someone who definitely voted for Hillary to be president in 2016. And, you know, like a lot of Americans who hoped she would become president, I think I felt very upset about what happened instead and sort of wanted to rewrite history, even if only fictionally. And then, you know, that's kind of Hillary specific, but then I think I also wanted to examine the larger question of, for all of us, are there parallel lives out there, or are there sort of decisions we could have made that would have changed things slightly or would have changed things dramatically?
Okay, that happens to be the theme of a play that I'm performing at the moment when I finish my radio work, so really interesting. And you've also, I think, one of the themes through your novels is politics. You're interested in politics, you're interested in fame, you're interested in what gaps there are between public persona and private personalities.
I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, I do think that that's endlessly fascinating to me because, you know, I think that a lot of us can have a sort of tendency to think that a famous person doesn't exist unless we're observing them. And so if a politician isn't giving a speech or isn't posting something on social media, you know, then they're not there, or that they sort of, I don't know, like sit in a box and only come out and perform for us. But of course, these people like brush their teeth and, you know, talk to their friends and read articles and do things that are sort of mundane, but also universal.
And once you'd taken the decision, and I don't know how early you took the decision that this book was going to diverge from what we know of Hillary's real life at the point where she said yes to Bill, and in your book she was going to say no. How much did you plan ahead what would happen? Or are you one of these writers that you'd made that decision right at the beginning of the process or at the point where he was making the proposal, and you thought, did you think it'd be interesting if she said no and then allow her to tell you through the writing process what happened next?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, in real life, Bill Clinton proposed twice and she said no before she said yes the third time. So it's sort of fascinating. Like, it feels plausible that maybe she could have said no a third time too. And for me, that was the kind of animating question, or the premise of the book, was what if she hadn't married Bill? And then I think I knew in a kind of, you know, big picture sense where the book was headed, but I think there were a lot of surprises for me along the way as I was writing.
Yeah, I mean, you said that you wished Hillary had become president of the United States, and that was part of the reason for writing the book. And generally, it is a positive portrayal of Hillary Rodham, the lone politician who forges a political career, a path for herself without a more powerful public figure husband at her side. But it's not a, you know, I mean, it's warts and all is too strong a term, but it's not a hagiographic. It's not a bow down and let's regard her as the most wonderful person who never became president of the United States. It's much more textured than that.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, and I think that's deliberate. So, I mean, one, I wanted this fictional version of Hillary to be flawed because I think everybody is flawed, and I think our flaws make us complicated and interesting and human. But, you know, I also I feel like, you know, just in terms of, like, if the reader, I do admire Hillary a lot, and I, doing research made me admire her more, and I did vote for her, but I think that if the reader read this and felt like this was just a love letter from Curtis to Hillary, and that I was hoping to get, you know, a nice email from her, or maybe, like, hoping in the fullness of time that I would get to have lunch with her or something, I think that the reader would be able to sense those motives in the book, and that my loyalty had to lie with the story. It had to be like I'm trying to create the best, most engrossing, most sort of plausible, but, you know, weird and surprising story that I can, and I'm not trying to ingratiate myself with Hillary Clinton, because then that's like something, but it's not a novel.
Has she read it, to your knowledge?
She has not read it, to my knowledge. And, you know, she's so much a part of this sort of the fabric of American culture and pop culture. And, you know, there have been plays about her. There are, you know, nutcrackers, plastic nutcrackers in her image. There's all sorts of T-shirts with her on them. So I do... Some people will say to me, of course she's read it. She's human. But I do think she must be accustomed to tuning out certain forms of attention that just don't necessarily serve a purpose in her life. And this might fall into that category.
She's lived a fairly public life for a very long time, and she's written about her life, and Bill has written about his life and his life with her. So there's a lot out there in the public domain. In terms of the research that you did, which you referred to earlier, were there things that you found out that gave you a new perspective on this central character in your fictional work?
I mean, you're certainly right that there is a lot out there. And I was 17 years old when Bill Clinton became president. So for my entire adult life, I'm now 45, the Clintons have been kind of public fixtures. There's an American journalist who covered the 2016 campaign for the New York Times named Amy Chozick, and she wrote a book called Chasing Hillary, which I do feel like it gave a kind of different perspective on Hillary. Like, among other things, you know, Hillary really likes cocktails, and Amy Chozick would describe her as this sort of potentially she would have been the booziest president. I mean, I don't think she drinks excessively, but I think she does enjoy a cocktail. There are a few ways that, and Amy Chozick would also say that she would kind of, that Hillary would sort of sometimes have flirtatious banter, again, not inappropriately, but just kind of like funny with some of the male journalists and some of the younger male staff. And the people, sometimes there can be caricatures of her as sort of sexless or humorless, and I think neither of those is remotely true.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about sexless, and there are descriptions of sex in your book, and bizarrely, I felt a little bit uncomfortable reading those, and I have no prurient objection to the description of various sexual acts on the pages of novels. You know, that's fine. That's sex is part of people's lives. Desire, passion is part of people's lives. But because you were writing about real people, although in a fictional sense, there was a part of me that went, I must turn this page rather quickly.
You know, you're not alone. I think that the sex scenes in the book are a bit polarizing, where I think some readers feel exactly as you feel. Like, they feel like, ooh, do I need to know that? You know, and then others feel like, and this is why I put them in there. I think they feel like, of course they're in there. You know, this is especially the sections that you're referring to. it's, you know, these two people in their early 20s who are falling in love. They find each other sort of intellectually enthralling and also physically enthralling. And I feel like something probably would have been missing if that hadn't been there. I mean, it's like someone could probably make an argument that I could have cut a sentence here or there. I mean, I just tend to be a very specific writer. Like if I'm describing the meal that someone's eating, or, you know, like the song they're listening to as they drive down the street and what street they're on and, you know, what they see. And so I think that I just don't pull back when it comes to sex the way other writers do. But and as with everything else, you know, people can sort of debate whether that's wise or unwise on my part.
It's a wonderful book. Really enjoyed reading it. And thanks very much for talking to us about it. The author, Curtis Sittenfeld, of the book Rodham.